Good morning. First, I'd like to thank the authors, organizers, and my co-authors on this talk. Can you hear me in the back? My talk is about hydraulically versus hormonally controlled root water uptake from partially wet root zones. So, with drip irrigation, you have the opportunity to irrigate parts of the root zone and keeping other parts of the root zone dry. This is also so-called partial root zone drying, and this is used, for instance, in horticulture or in orchards to save water and to increase fruit or crop quality. Now, if you want to manage such systems, it is important that you have an idea on how the plants react to this heterogeneity of water content in the root zone and how this heterogeneity influences plant transpiration rate. If we assume homogeneous water content distributions in the soil profile, then we can normally link the uptake distribution to the root water length to the root length density distribution. If water content distribution becomes heterogeneous, you can have, for instance, a reduction of root water uptake in the dry parts of the root zone. And in some models, it might be that this reduction is compensated by an increase in water uptake from parts where there is still sufficiently water available. Now, the way that this water uptake is described in models is in a rather empiric and parameterized form, and there is quite a lot of uncertainty on how this should be parameterized and how this should be even implemented into root water uptake models. And to get a little bit more mechanistics in this description, we developed a soil root model in which we describe the root system as a network of connected nodes, and the water can flow along this network according to water potential differences, and water can flow into the roots from the soil according to or following potential differences between the soil and the root system. We couple then this root network model to a three-dimensional model that simulates water flow in the soil, and the sink term in a voxel of this soil flow model is simply the sum of the radial fluxes to all the root segments that are located in that single voxel. And the soil model provides the boundary conditions, the water potentials at the soil root interfaces for the root network model. Now, to solve this problem, you need to define a boundary condition at the upper part or at the root collar of this system. And this can be done in various ways, but one obvious way is to define a water flux or a transpiration rate at the root collar. Now, what we need to implement then in the model is a way is how this flux changes when the water conditions in the root zone change. And this implies that we actually need to look how the stomatal conductance senses basically the root zone conditions. And one way we could implement that in a model is by saying that stomatal conductance is a function of the leaf water potential, and the leaf water potential is hydraulically connected basically to the water potentials in the root zone. We often use a kind of step function to describe stomatal conductance as a function of leaf water potential by saying that as long as the critical leaf water potential is not reached, transpiration occurs at its potential rate. Until this critical leaf water potential is reached, and at that stage the stomata regulate the leaf water potential and keep the leaf water potential constant. However, recently, or the last couple or the last decades, plant biologists also have investigated another type of signaling mechanism. The regulation by leaf water potential, I will call that hydraulic signaling. During the last decades, plant biologists also discovered other signaling mechanisms, and these signaling mechanisms are based on the production of plant hormones in the root zone as a function of the water potential in the root zone. These hormones are then transported via the transpiration stream towards the shoot, and the hormone concentrations in the leaf then regulate the leaf or the stomatal conductance. In the next slide, I show you, and we implemented this mechanism in our model, and this slide should illustrate the simulation by this model of an experiment, a so-called split root experiment, where the roots are divided in, or the root system is divided in two separate hydraulically separated soil boxes. The left box, So we irrigated both boxes for 5 days equally, and then after 5 days the irrigation was shifted towards the left box, and the right box dried out and started to produce hormones. And then we looked at the reduction of the transpiration. The black and red lines are for a model that includes hormone signaling, and the blue line is for a model that only considers hydraulic signaling. So as you can see, we can, with hormonal signaling, we can reproduce transpiration reduction when part of the root zone dries out. But what is also interesting is that after some time, we see that with hormonally controlled root plants, transpiration starts to increase slightly. And we explain this by the fact that when the root zone dries out, the hormones that are produced there cannot be transported anymore so easily to the shoot. And this becomes also apparent when you do alternated root zone drying, so you switch the irrigation between the different compartments after a certain time. And what you observe then is that just after the switch, you get a sudden drop in transpiration rate. Now, I even lost the mouse here, I think. Here it is. So you even after a switch, when you switch the irrigation site, you get a small drop in simulated transpiration. And this can be linked to the fact that from the compartment that was dried out in the previous phase, there is a buildup of hormone concentrations, or hormone mass, which is then flushed out of that zone when you start irrigating that zone, and that leads to an increase in concentration and thereby a decrease in transpiration. Now, a next step of simulations that we did, there we considered different scenarios and we varied the fraction of roots that were dried out or that were in the dry soil. And we considered two plant types, one with hydraulic signaling and the other with hormonal signaling. Now, for both plant types, we can do an analysis of our model and simplify it so that that was done by Valentin Couvreur. And then we find that the actual transpiration can be written as a function of the difference between an effective root zone water potential and the potential at the root collar multiplied by an effective root system conductivity. Now, this effective root zone conductivity is a weighted potential in the root zone, where the weights are the uptake rates under conditions of uniform water potential. And the actual sink term then, the local sink term, is equal to the sink term for a uniform water potential distribution and a compensation factor, which is positive, which means you have more uptake when the local water potential in the soil is larger than the average root zone water potential. So you can basically, the model implicitly or accounts directly for root water uptake compensation. If we look now at the isohydric plants, where the root water, or sorry, where the collar water potential is kept constant when a critical threshold value is reached, then we plotted here the reduction of transpiration versus the effective root water, root zone water potential. And what you notice here that we basically retrieve the classical stress functions that were proposed by Rainer Fedders. So you have these piecewise linear stress relationships, and you also see that we recover basically the fact that for a low potential transpiration, you get an onset of stress for more negative root zone water potentials, which basically illustrates that our model is doing the same as what was proposed by the model of Fedders. But this is for the case of a hydraulically controlled plant. Now, what happens if we look at a hormonally controlled plant? Then we get the following relation between the reduction of the actual transpiration versus root zone water potential. And if you remember the previous slides, we actually see that the order now is completely opposite. And what we observe is that for the same ratio of actual to potential transpiration, that means actually that we have a higher actual transpiration for a higher potential transpiration, leading also to more dilution of the hormones that are produced in the root zone. That means that we actually need to produce more hormones in the root zone to get the same concentrations in the shoot and the same reduction of transpiration, which means that we need to have a lower root zone water potential for a higher teapot to get the same reduction in transpiration, which is exactly the opposite to what was predicted, or which is the opposite to what we observed for the hydraulically controlled plant systems. Another interesting point is if, when we look at the relation of the reduction, transpiration reduction versus fraction of roots in dry soil, we find that that is nearly a unique function which is independent of the transpiration rate. So concluding, we implemented a module in our model that also considers the transport of hormones in the systems and their influence on transpiration. And we found that depending on how signaling between root zone and stomatal regulation is simulated, a completely different reactions of plants to partial root zone drying can be obtained. And for hormonal signaling, transpiration rate is reduced independent of the transpirational demand whenever there is a part of the root zone that is dried out. And for the same relative reduction in transpiration, we find more negative leaf and root zone water potentials in hormonally controlled plants when we have a higher potential transpiration rate. And for hydraulic signaling, transpiration reduction occurs for certain fraction of roots in the dry soil only when a threshold transpiration demand is exceeded. Thank you.